This is week four of 4 weeks where we are looking really at who we are as Grace Church. So over the previous 3 weeks, we have done the church is for worship. We exist to worship Jesus. It's not a religion, but a relationship. And the better we know Jesus, the more we worship. Week two, the church is for family. We are united in Jesus. All our roots are in him. We're diverse. And God's grace releases us to serve one another. And we've done, the church is for making followers of Jesus. It's discipleship. We help one another to know Jesus better and to grow in Christian maturity. Now, if we were to just stop there, then there'd be a real danger that we would just be kind of like an exclusive huddle together. And it would be all, you know, come on, let's gather around the campfire, let's worship as a family and disciple each other. No one else is allowed out, no one's allowed in. Grab a guitar, come on, let's sing. Kumbaya, my Lord, kumbaya. And it's all a bit exclusive and weird. And it would be missing a huge chunk of what the church is for. Because what we're doing this week is that the church is for mission. You might have, if you've been around Christian circles for any length of time, you may have come across the little phrase that Christians and the church are to be in the world, but not of the world. Now, I get the sentiment behind that, and there's some value, and we are different as Christians. But the problem with it is that it makes it sound a bit like being in the world is the bad thing. It's like, oh yeah, kind of sucks to be here. And all our effort goes into not being part of it. And it's, come on, let's have another verse. Someone's laughing, my Lord. And it's just not what the church is called to be. Again, there's some value, but we are different. We worship Jesus. We are brothers and sisters. We disciple one another. But we also have a mission. And Jesus, the night before he was crucified, was praying to his Father for his people in John 17:15, and he says this: my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. Now, Jesus doesn't want us to be of the world. That is clear. And it's kind of a statement more than an endeavor or a mission. He says they are not of the world. But it's not the main point of Jesus' prayer. It starts there and it moves on to the mission that we are sent into the world. So maybe here's my little proposed improvement on that phrase. It's not that we're not in the world but not of it, but maybe it's that we are not of the world, but we are sent into the world. Grace Church has a purpose for this world. And it's not ultimately to avoid it, but to go into it and to proclaim Christ to it. We are sent by Christ to proclaim Christ to the world. And if we're not doing that, then we're not being the church. We are a people on a mission. We've been looking through Colossians through these 4 weeks, and so at the final chapter, chapter 4, this week, I'm just going to read a few verses from chapter 4, verses 2 to 6. It says this: devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. We are a people on a mission. That's clear from this passage. That's what I'm going to talk about this morning, talking about this mission that we have been given as God's church. And the first thing I want to say about this mission that we have been given is that mission flows out of prayer. This passage, it would be kind of widely recognized that Paul's written to the church in Colossae is about the church's mission, but it starts with prayer. I've said already that it's important that we remember that we are sent, right? Let's not forget that. And as long as we pray, we won't be able to forget that we are sent. Prayer and mission, we see from this passage, are really inextricably linked. So it's not just, hey, we're sent into the world, we've been given a job, so hey, let's pray about it, we should pray. But it's more than that. We need to pray as a starting point, and that will then force us to remember that we are sent on a mission. Because often, you know, prayer can be an afterthought. It's a, you know, also pray. Hey, you should pray about that. That'll help as well. No, when it comes to mission of the church, prayer is the starting point. We should devote ourselves to it. Devote yourself. That's a strong word. It's a sacrificial commitment to praying that will lead to mission. Before we talk strategy or anything else, when it comes to our mission, we pray. And the reason is kind of obvious, really. We cannot change one person's heart, let alone the whole world. And when we pray, you know, in the right way, humbly before God, we are necessarily recognizing two things. Firstly, we can't do it. And secondly, God can do it. Praying definitively means asking God to act, asking God to help. So we are acknowledging our powerlessness. I can't make people do alpha, let alone change their heart and make them love Jesus. That's one person. I certainly can't change haven't where God has placed me or anywhere else and as an area, as a community. We recognize that. And in the same breath as we pray, we accept that God can. I need help, God, and I believe that you can provide it. And that's why I'm asking you. When we pray, we acknowledge our weakness and we depend on God's strength. And doing that, that's a huge theme throughout the Bible. And things happen when that happens. When God's people recognize their own weakness and depend on God's strength, that's when God's power is made perfect. God is always reminding me that I need him to be able to lead anyone, to influence anyone's heart. I can't do it. It's been a constant reminder since March, right? These last 6 months, since lockdown started, and just my lack of ability to change someone's heart. It's actually, I'm no less able, but it's just more obvious to me. And I've been really mindful of that story when Jesus had a huge crowd and they needed feeding, 5,000 men plus women and children. And there's a little boy comes up with 5 loaves of bread and probably two small fish. Right, 5,000 men plus women and children need food. I think the little boy would have known that his little packed lunch of 5 loaves and 2 fish is not going to be enough. He's not thinking, oh, maybe this could stretch to feed everyone. He knows that what he has is not enough, but he just wonders, I wonder if Jesus could do anything with this. Here's my little lunch. I wonder if Jesus could take this and use it to bless thousands. That's why we pray, because we kind of look at what we've got and think, well, no, this isn't going to make a difference, but I wonder if Jesus could do something with it. And also, the fact that mission flows out of prayer and what Paul's saying here reminds us that when it comes to mission, the results are totally with God. He is the able one, right? So the results of how effective our mission may be are 100% down to him. We, as a church, don't need to be kind of world-leading in our strategy. You don't need to be an amazing standout evangelist, because it's not down to us or you. We can't say, we've not left the option of saying, well, I can't really do evangelism. I'm just not gifted. We may think that, but then we pray. And as we pray, mission flows out of prayer. We take whatever we have, right? We know it's not enough, but we give that to God and we let God do what he wants to do with it. And it, in one sense, it's tricky because it's both that the results are totally God's. It is all down to God. But it's also that we can truly believe that the more we pray, the more fruit we'll see. So there's also a dependency on us praying, and both are true. Mission flows out of prayer, and the number one thing we can do for mission is to pray. People often say, you know, there's no formula, there's no technique in successful mission, and in one sense it's true, but maybe there is, and maybe it's to pray. And that is non-negotiable thing that when it comes to mission is to pray. So that's what we're going to do as a church. We're going to pray through these coming weeks and months. Hopefully you've been catching every day. It was one of our leaders has been praying on Facebook, in our Facebook group. And it's not just that we, you know, they're doing that, but that's us praying together as a church together. So engage with that. Also, what we're going to do starting next Sunday morning, we're going to do a Zoom prayer meeting the details will come in More Grace this Wednesday. I can't remember the exact time, but we're going to pray together in advance of the start of the morning. And we're doing this because it's missional. Us praying more is a missional thing. Our mission flows out of prayer. And number two, our mission is motivated by grace. Grace is a huge theme throughout this series. We are grace, right? We are Grace Church by name and by nature. So we worship when we know the grace of God, and that causes us to worship. Grace is what makes us brothers and sisters together and a family together. It's when we know the grace of God to us that we disciple one another. It is all because of grace, right? And our mission is motivated by grace. Here's a little thought experiment for you. Just imagine for a moment. Imagine that you have offered to pray for a colleague at work and invited someone to Alpha. You've offered to pray for them and said, hey, come to Alpha. It would be great if I could pray for you. And then you get sacked for doing that, which is not, you know, that happened in 2017. A nurse got sacked for asking to pray for someone. But then you also get arrested for it, which I don't think we're there just yet, would happen. But imagine that's what happens. You just offer to pray for someone, invite them to Alpha at work, and then you get sacked and actually go to prison for it. And from prison, you write like a 4-page email to the leadership at Grace Church, and you spend the 3 pages just encouraging the church and praying for the church. And finally, from your position, you have a prayer request on page 4. You finally get there, and you ask us to pray that God would enable you to help telling people about Jesus. So you don't say, would you pray for justice? Would you pray for me to be freed from prison? You pray for an opportunity to speak about Jesus more. How crazy would that be? And that is exactly what Paul has done in this letter to the Colossians. He is writing from prison there because he's been speaking about Jesus. And in verse 3, chapter 4, the last chapter, he finally gets to a prayer request. Comes in verse 3. It says, pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. It is radical. He didn't say, hey, pray that we would get out of prison. pray for justice. It's not pray for the door of my prison cell to be opened. No, pray for a door for the message and mission of Jesus that he has given me. Now, Paul, he could have just stopped proclaiming Jesus. He could, and then he'd be free, right? But that is not an option to him. It is so radical, and it can only be motivated by grace. He is so in love with Jesus, so grateful to him, that all he wants is to be able to proclaim him and tell people about him. Rules, a list of rules, do not make us radical like that. Grace does. God's grace to us, his unconditional love, his unconditional salvation, the relationship that he's offered to us, the security we have in him, the purpose he gives to us, that makes us grateful, and our gratitude for God's grace motivates us to mission. It's like a gift we have been given that is just too good to keep to ourselves. And again, that's how the passage starts. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. So watchful means being aware of what is going on around us. Be aware of the world that you're living in. Be ready, be in the know, and thankful, grateful. Being grateful motivates us. Gratitude and grace, those two words have the same root in the English language and also in the Greek that Paul's writing in. So gratitude is eucharistio, and grace is charis. So eucharistio and charis. It's the same word, because when we get grace, we get gratitude, and mission comes from that place. It's why mission flows out of praying, particularly with thankfulness, because we realize how much we have to thank God for, and we are transformed, and we have no choice but to tell the world. And it's why this passage that is largely about our mission and being sent doesn't start with devote yourselves to your mission, devote yourselves to evangelism, devote yourselves to proclaiming Christ. It starts with devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Because being thankful in prayer, recalling God's grace to us, motivates us to tell other people about that grace. And even prayer, the thing that he's calling us to sacrificially commit to devote ourselves to, even that is a gift of God's grace to us. It's not, you know, he's not saying, hey, devote yourselves to watching EastEnders or to some other intolerable task that we'd have to suffer through because we got to devote ourselves to it. No, it's devote yourselves to the privilege of talking to God. There's some toil in it and some discipline we need to get through, but we get through discipline to delight relatively quickly. It's a privilege. As we do toil, as we devote ourselves to prayer, prayer will lead to grace-motivated mission. It starts with prayer. It starts with gratitude. But that's where it all starts. But these verses and the way Paul writes here is kind of unique to him in their nature. They actually get quite practical in a way that we don't really get anywhere else in the New Testament. These verses are very instructional. Normally, Paul would describe the gospel. He would defend the gospel. He would talk about how universal it is, and it applies to not just one people group, but every people group. But he assumes kind of how to do it will just come naturally to us. That's his normal approach. It's Acts 1:8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. It's just, you'll figure it out as you go. But here, we do actually get some practical stuff. There's some how here. So number three, we'll summarize the how that our mission is full of grace and truth. Our mission is full of grace and truth. In John chapter 1, John is talking about how Jesus was sent by the Father to this world. And Jesus came full of grace and truth. And we saw in John 17, as Jesus prayed in verse 18, "As you sent me into the world," Jesus prays to his Father, "as you sent me to be full of grace and truth, I have sent them into the world." We're sent in the same way that the Father sent the Son. And at the risk of stating the obvious, it does matter how we go. It matters how we go into the world. And Paul says in chapter 5 of Colossians 4, "Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity." Wisdom and thinking about how we're acting matters. Godliness and integrity matters. So think about how you're acting in your workplace or wherever God's placed you. There's wisdom. And also, I think when in this context, when it says be wise, it also kind of points to a shrewdness. Creatively use opportunities. Think strategically about how you can make the most of your opportunities. And when we think of opportunities, I think again we come back to prayer. We should pray for opportunities. I don't know if you've experienced this. I know I have, lots of people have. When we pray for opportunities to share the gospel, we get more opportunities. And not only do we get them, but when these opportunities come, we are more ready because we have already got ourselves in that place and we've been asking God to present them to us. We're ready to make the most of every opportunity. So pray for opportunities. It matters how we go. And so full of grace and truth, what is that then? I think when you can think of grace and truth, think of a bag of sweet and salty popcorn. I am a big fan. I'm going to go for it. Hey! Yes. Sweet and salty, easily the best flavour. In fact, everyone knows that. Clearly very popular because these are the only ones I could get in Tesco, which is good because they were the ones I needed. Other supermarkets are available. Big fan of sweet and salty popcorn. They kind of made a big movement recently. I think they're just the thing now. And the sweetiness and the saltiness, kind of strange combination, but they're not in competition. They work together. And there's a lot of salted caramel, also a flavour, doing very well for itself at the moment. And you've got, again, the sweet and the salt together, full of grace and truth. Verse 6, Paul says, "Let your conversations be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." There's the sweetness of grace. We should be full of the sweetness of grace and also the kind of saltiness of truth. Let me explain what I mean. So full of the sweetness of grace, primarily our message that we have, this message that we are sent to proclaim, is a message of sweet grace. The gospel of Jesus is the greatest and the most glorious news to this battered and broken world. It gives the gospel brings access to purpose and to meaning and to joy and to hope and to relationship. We don't work ourselves up to God, but God in his grace worked himself down to us. It is a beautiful message that we have. It's not a good option. It's not, hey, this works for me. It's the only option for all of us, for your friends, for your neighbors, for your colleagues, for your employers, employees, for your grandkids, for your grandparents, for everyone. This is the gospel of good news, and this is what we all need. I know that all your friends and everyone you know has their own struggles and issues they need to work through. This is not to add to them. It brings good news to everyone. And our mission as a church, as Grace Church, is to proclaim this message of grace. It's nothing else, really. That is our mission to this world. The calling on every church and every Christian is to tell the message and mystery of Christ. So we're full of grace in that the message we have is a message of grace. We're also full of grace in not just in our message, but in the tone that we present it. Grace-filled tone in presenting any position is pretty rare right now, you may have picked up. And we as the church, we are out to win souls, ultimately, not arguments. And you can win an argument and lose a soul or vice versa. And the Bible knows we need to be grace-filled in our tone. The message is beautiful. Let's not ruin it by how we present it to people. And as well, we should be full of the saltiness of truth. It's not in competition, but it works alongside. For most of us, the truth is, our instinct is to be nice and to be liked and to be bland. And to be seasoned with salt means not blending in. This gospel is glorious, and it is also in some ways offensive. The truth that we have is contrary to this world. The truth of the gospel requires us to disagree with this world. We can't hide behind being full of grace. We ultimately need to get over being people pleasers and present the truth of the gospel, knowing it is the good news that everyone needs. So we say Christ offers hope, and in that we say that outside of him there is no hope. We call things out. Post-truth is stupid. Don't do what feels right to you. There is a truth, and his name is Jesus, and this world desperately needs more of him. It's obviously not actually loving or gracious if we don't tell people that. It's not really being gracious if we don't have the saltiness of truth. For the sake of your friends and family and those you love, they need to hear the truth. Full of grace and truth, like a good bag of popcorn. We're not picking fights with people, we're full of grace. But we're seasoned with salt, we're speaking the truth in love. The church is for mission to proclaim the glorious mystery of Christ. We're not of the world. We are different, but we are sent into the world. We're called out to be different, and then we're sent back in. So we're doing this term, a week on Wednesday, we're launching Alpha Online, our second Alpha Online, where people can explore the meaning of life and the Christian faith, that this faith that really is good news for everyone. Grace is what people need, and Alpha is just an amazing tool for helping people to find the grace of God. And say, we've done online once, it was great last time. Really, it genuinely worked. We didn't know that going into it. It was a bit of a give it a go. Now we know it does work. There's added benefits to doing it online. It's kind of extra convenient for people if they, need childcare or whatever. They're at home. They don't need that. It can be particularly comfortable in their own home. And people are searching. People do know that there is a truth. Ultimately, most people are looking for this truth. So after this morning, we've got a video that we're going to show for you to share, to use, to invite people to Alpha. We'll show it after, and then we'll put it on social media as well so that you can share it. Share it on your feed, right? Share it on your Facebook feed or whatever, Instagram, whatever you're on. Do that, and also send it specifically to individuals, because the church is on mission together, and most fruit comes from when individuals are inviting other individuals. When you say, hey, particularly thought this would be good for you, here's a link to a YouTube video, to an Alpha course that my church is running online. Share it, shout about it. Remember, pray, right? It is hard doing these things. There's a kind of a difficulty to it because there's the saltiness there, but it's what people need. Pray, offer what you have, whatever you've got, and in your weakness, lean on God's strength to do what he will do. Thank him for his grace to you, And then from that place of gratitude, let mission flow out of prayer and thankfulness. We really can believe God for big things in this chaotic world, through us, through his people. It's not about our ability. Again, we lean on God's strength, and he can do all things, and we can believe him for big and significant things. If we do depend on ourselves, we're not going to be good at it. We won't be effective. We won't be creative. We won't be motivated. We won't really be a blessing to this world. And Paul wrote this. He says of himself elsewhere, really, that he struggles, and he doesn't find it easy, but he doesn't depend on himself, and we do not depend on ourselves. We depend on the grace of God. So I want to pray for us that God's Spirit would fill us and help us to pray and to lean on him, to be grateful and to see fruit from our mission as we are full of grace and truth. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for your grace to us in Jesus. Thank you that you have loved us enough to send your Son to die for us. We can easily think sometimes that, oh, I deserve it in some way, but there is nothing in us that has earned it. You have graciously loved us and given us your Son so that we may have life and meaning and purpose and joy and relationship with you once more, the thing we ultimately need. God, we are so grateful and so thankful. I pray, make us more thankful. And we are watchful, we look at the world and we know it is a mess and it needs Jesus. So we pray, Lord, would you just again fill us with your Spirit, help us to recognize our own weakness and in so doing to lean on your strength, such that as we are a people sent into this world, we would be a fruitful people. Lord, I pray for this Alpha. Help us to invite people, help us to have the courage. And I pray, God, would you pour your Spirit, draw people to you. Man, these people need you so desperately, God. Would you draw them to you and make us a people who praise, a people who is grateful for your mercy. And from that place, we have no choice but to shout from the rooftops about how Jesus is the answer and hope for this world. We love you, God, and we long for more people to know you and to know your grace. Amen.